Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic Friday. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. I was watching, several people like Nancy Pelosi doing some speeches with her constant brain freezes a few moments ago, and I just started laughing, and I thought, wow, so the Democratic Party really doesn't have the ability to come after Trump with anything but this, and with this message of hate that they're spewing. We're going to talk about that some today, but it was so funny. I sent out that video yesterday of me doing those curls, and the reason I sent that out was not to try, hey, look at me doing curls. It's look at me, I'm 62 years old, and you know, we don't have to be sedentary when we become in retirement age. I'll be filing for Social Security here like another 2 months when I'm 63, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting money back and not having to pay any more Social Security, and I hope. So it's one of those deals that I'm just in a situation where I'm really happy, Austin, that I'm in as good a shape as I'm in, and I always encourage everybody out there to stay in shape, work out, you know, at least walk. If you don't do anything as far as lift and walk, and if you've got back issues, be real careful, because I don't use that much weight very often, the 100 pounds for those 8 reps that I did on those curls, because I've had an L4, L5 decompressive laminectomy back in 88. And I got to make sure I don't torque my back too much, because I just don't use that much weight. That's why I was really kind of shocked personally that I actually did that many reps with that much weight. And quite frankly, I'm fine today. I was hoping I'd be a little bit sore from it, but I'm really not sore at all. So it's just one of those things, when you work out on a regular basis and you eat clean, it's pretty easy to stay in shape. But I was also had a few people were asking me, because, and this is something that comes up on an ongoing basis, your mom and I have been married for 34 years now. And people are always asking me, how have you done that? How have you basically stayed married for so long? And my response is always this. It's, you know, we pray together every day, and, you know, we love each other and we respect each other. But there's several things that I've learned. And you know, it's kind of like that old Jim Croce song, Lost, you know. You don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit in the wind, and you never mess around with a man named Jim. So you know where this conversation is fixing to go. And here's what I've learned with girls and with women, and when I was dating and everything else, and it's more important when you're married, because when you're dating somebody, if you're listening to me and you're still single, it's easy if you're dating somebody, and you, and again, hopefully you don't have any children with that person or not tied together with assets. If somebody starts really not getting along with each other, it's easy to step away. But when you're married, it's not that easy. So here's a couple little tricks, you know, along with the praying together, little hints I want to give you real quick. Number one, there's a term in German that means Verrücktlauf, which means kind of like run around crazy, but really what it more or less means is that micromanage. You kind of don't micromanage your spouse. You know, when you marry somebody, you got to marry and you got to choose well, and you shouldn't have to micromanage. It's like having an employee, and you guys who have businesses, you know, or if you're working for somebody else, you know, if your boss is always hanging over your shoulder telling you what to do, you're kind of like, look, boss, you know, why are you here? You're paying me to do this. So you don't micromanage them. You let them do pretty much what they want. And basically you don't do that. And you don't micromanage them. You try not to fuss very often, because you don't want to spend too many chips up as far as fussing. And the third thing you never want to do with a woman, this is so important. You're going to learn something from me on this one now. This is important. You never ever take their purse and dump it. If you want to see somebody go ballistic, take their purse and dump it. Like, well, I know you got somewhere in your purse, I'm going to dump your purse. You take the purse and turn it upside down and shake it on the bed. For some reason, as far as my wife is concerned, I've done that a couple of times before I realized the severity of the response. And it's just some things just aren't worth it. I don't really care. Whatever's in the purse is in the purse. I thought I'd share that with you guys real quick to give you a little bit of laughter here to start with, as far as thing. Now we've got some issues here going on right now. We've got Ebola breaking out again in several countries over there in Africa, and it's basically spread to a new city. I'm not blowing the Ebola squake scare, and I wanted to touch this yesterday, but we've had two more planes land now in Philadelphia that are under quarantine with sick passengers. This is huge, guys. This is basically the third time in a few days that aircraft arriving in the United States from overseas have been declared in-flight medical emergencies and have been quarantined upon arrival to the USA. Yesterday, two American Airlines flights, one from Paris and the other one from Munich, were quarantined at Philadelphia International Airport because dozens of passengers on both flights suddenly became severely ill. Emergency responders from Philadelphia, from the Centers of Disease Control, Customs and Border Protection, and the Department of Homeland Security are all on the scene assessing the situation and rendering aid to the sick. This is a big deal. This has happened three times now in 1 week, and it's something that not supposed to happen at all. I remember a few years ago, I was on a cruise ship. It's a Holland American ship, which I would never recommend that line. I don't recommend any Carnival ships at all. And we were on the ship for several weeks. And I remember I had all the kids with me. This was probably 6 years ago. And we had we basically had a really bad virus go through the ship, and we had projectile vomiting in the hallways. And I remember when we finally landed back in Miami, everybody was happy to get off this, we call it the plague ship is what the nickname turned into. And we ended up having people pulled off in stretchers. And they said that several people had died on that ship. Now, that's not uncommon, because a lot of times when people go on cruises, they're older, and they may have a heart attack or whatever, or a stroke, and die, and either they're medevaced off or removed to the port, to the first available port. That happens a lot on cruise ships, especially when you have an older demographics like Holland America. But the reality was, when we got to Miami, Austin, CDC was waiting. They were waiting, and they were pulling people off the ship in masks, on stretchers, and it took forever to get off the boat because the CDC basically had quarantined the ship. And it was crazy how that actually happened. I was actually in the middle of that. So when I hear stuff like this coming in from overseas with airplanes, this isn't okay, especially when we're having major problems with Ebola again in Africa. Now suddenly these planes are coming in to Philadelphia, and you know they have sick people to the point the entire plane has to be quarantined. This is some serious stuff, guys, and that's why yesterday I talked to you guys about making sure you're on your iodine, your C, your D3, your K2, have astragalus there, and have that entire immune system protocol available. And don't just look at it. Use it. I mean, I take my stuff every single day. It's so important that we all take supplements and exercise and stay clean. And remember, wash your hands. I can't. If we're coming into the flu season again, I cannot emphasize to you the importance. You don't have to use soap and water all the time. If you get grease on them or whatever, that's different. You got to wash them with soap and water. If you just touch something you should not touch, running water will do it. Just make sure you rub them together and make sure you don't touch the bathroom sinks, the bathroom sink knobs, the door handle going out of the bathrooms. Don't touch any of that stuff when you're in a public space, the handles of the toilet. Always make sure you're using something to touch them with, because pretty much I can guarantee you 100% of the time, unless they've just been sterilized before you walked in, they contain and have on them fecal coliform, which is basically poop. And it's just very toxic, and you don't want to get that stuff around your nose, your eyes. You get really sick from it. It's so important that you keep your hands washed, you keep your children's hands washed, and when you take them to a theme park or something like that, try to get the little brats not to touch everything. I couldn't control mine like that, and they stay sick, oh, gosh, for years. It's the truth. No, touch every handrail, touch every button, rub everything on. I mean, just, they got to touch everything, and everything goes in the eyes, the mouth, and the nose. So if something does happen and people get really, really sick and something starts to spread, don't take your kids out in public like that. Stay home from church. Keep them at church. Don't take them to Disney World or anywhere. Don't even take them to church. Just keep them at home, because you don't want some child giving your child some type of disease. Not cool at all. What do you think about all that, Austin? What's your next story?
As well said, yeah. I mean, there's definitely some key things that you have to be aware of. And, I mean, we do occasionally now is do the silver, the colloidal silver. We'll put it on a Q-tip, as Dad's talked to you before, basically swabbing your nose. I'll do that with Hunter a lot of times before I take him places that I know there's going to be a lot of kids. Like, we go to, like, the Auburndale Park, or we go to church or something like that where he's going to be running around, or a Awana on Wednesday. And I'll do that. And that way, at least if he starts picking his nose like a lot of two-and-a-half-year-old boys do, it prevents a lot from getting in there, because at that point you've already kind of disinfected it. Little tricks like that, and constantly trying to do the best you can, because like Dad said, keeping their hands away from their face and out of their nose and out of their mouth is virtually impossible. So you just have to do the best of what you have. But yes, very well said. If something does start occurring, or even like there was not too long ago, last fall, but right about a year ago now, we started having a real bad issue down here in Florida with the flu. I mean, people started getting it left and right, and we basically did a full-blown quarantine here at the office and at our house, as far as we really didn't go anywhere. We didn't really do anything. We really didn't hang out with anybody. We kept everything really, really clean, and we're able to avoid a lot of that. And, you know, that's not fun at all, I'll be honest with you. But sometimes you got to do stuff like that. If you know there's a lot of people getting sick in your area on a regular basis, and the irony about this is, guys, this is the funny part about this. I'm not in a ha-ha way, but just an irony way. Has anybody ever noticed that the flu season always coincides with people getting the flu shot? And people go, well, that's not, you can't correlate the two together because people are just getting the flu and then we start getting the flu shot to try to prevent it. Is that really what's going on? Because it's ironic to me that we've been seeing the 2018 flu push for quite some time now. Pharmacies are advertising these huge offers now, including free flu shots with discounts on other products. Retail outlets offer no-wait shots, making it basically like you're going to buy candy. Oh, yeah, no wait, no fee, no cost. Come in and get your flu shot. According to the Department of Justice quarterly report listing compensations for injuries and death due to vaccines in the flu court, the flu shot is the number one most dangerous vaccine in the United States with crippling and fatal side effects. How many people take advantage of a flu shot will know there's a long list of debilitating side effects from the flu shot, as compensated by the U.S. government, the Federal Vaccine Court. I mean, it goes all the way to Guillain-Barre syndrome, transverse myelitis, multiple sclerosis, even one that's called CIRVA, which stands for shoulder injury related to vaccine administration, which is essentially in the injection site. Becomes extremely swollen, inflamed, and sore, and can actually start causing scar tissue because it has such an inflammatory response from all the toxins that are in these vaccines. And Dad just said, think what we're having right at the exact same time. We have Walgreens, all these places pushing their free flu shots. I mean, on the billboards, everything, all around. Now we've got three planes that have been grounded and been quarantined because this stuff is starting to spread. Does anybody start to think this stuff is slightly related? I'm not trying to be weird or, you know, the typical conspiracy theorists like CNN fake news likes to label us whenever we talk about factual events that are happening. But just think about that for a second when you hear about these things at the exact same time that they know and have trained and conditioned the American population to get ready for their annual flu epidemic and get your flu shot. Very interesting things to think about. And like I said, the D, the silver, especially the vitamin C, we even have the ACF, which is a liquid immune system support supplement. It does not taste good, I'll be honest with you right now, but I do take it on a semi-regular basis if I feel like I'm getting run down. I think getting Kid Hunter to take it in small increments. Very, very strong formula. You don't need a lot of it, but it's also another good one to add into your cabinet if you ever do need it on top of the other healthy immune support supplements, Dad. So I'm glad you brought that up because I saw that article earlier about that with the Dubai and New York one and everything else. Basically, the plane landed and there's like 20 ambulances and quarantine. I mean, they shut everything down. Planes, passengers, everybody gets quarantined when that happens now.
Well, I've been on it. I've been on the boats like that before. I remember when the ship stopped in the Cayman Islands, they call us the plague ship. They wouldn't even let taxis take us anywhere. I mean, they refused because they didn't want us coming on in the taxis and basically touching the armrests in the taxis and spreading it to another ship that came in later on that day or the following day. I mean, and all the vehicles that were hired by the ship to haul us around like buses, they had to all be wiped down before and after we got in. And I remember they were trying to force us to use hand sanitizer like every 50 feet in the boat. And I finally stopped them. I said, why are you doing this? They said, well, quite frankly, we can't get you guys to wash your hands. And I thought, you gotta be kidding me. I said, you know, you would think a ship full of adult people would wash their hands. But let me tell you though, this ship was so poorly run and so poorly managed and it got me so mad. I went to the front desk and I said, look, every time I go to the Lido, nastiest trip I've ever been on. I would never recommend Holland America. And the captain was like awful. And every time you go to the Lido, it was like every single table, Austin, had dirty dishes on it. They wouldn't bust the tables. Because they were so cheap, they wouldn't put anybody in the boat enough to have. They didn't have enough staff there to bust the tables. So you're handling people's silverware, you're having to move stuff just to sit down, and that's what spreads disease. Because now you're touching things that have saliva and everything else on them, and you're dealing with all that mess. And so, so the cruise ships are not the place to be because of the microcosm it creates with sick people on board. It really is really bad. I read an article, and I have to agree with part of it. And it's from the I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel of Christ website. And it's an article that they put in there, and it says, America is entering a dark tunnel of hatred. And it says, America has never been in modern times been seen such hatred. Not since the Civil War has there ever been so much division in our country. We are heading down a slippery slope and we only have ourselves to blame. The sense of entitlement has led to self-centeredness, which has led to jealousy, bitterness, and outright hatred. Not only hatred for each other, but hatred for God and our country. This has led to vengeance. I never witnessed such vile behavior towards each other, from road rage to refusing service to another because they work for the current president, to outright evil, like the man who gouged out another's eye with his hands. Leaders are calling for crimes against the sitting president. Treasonous statements are being lauded as admirable. Christians throw out God's word for sin. Christians attack other Christians for speaking up against this behavior. All persecution and human rights abuses in the world's history began with attacks on those who believed differently, those who refused to conform to evil desires, from ancient Rome to Hitler to the Islamic and communist socialist countries of the day. And now we're seeing the very beginnings of it here in America, and Americans bury their heads even further in the sand. I wanted to say that. It says not since Richard Nixon has so much hatred been thrown at a president. And basically, just saying these are their parallels of what's going on. So, guys, here's the thing. We've got to look at this. This author's right. They say some other things, and I don't agree with in the article. But that part I read you, I agree with. You know, the politics of hate have always been around. And that's on both sides. This is not a partisan issue. We have people that are basically Democrats who hate Republicans, and the people who are Republicans who hate Democrats. Then we have Catholics and other religions who think anybody who believes differently than them are heretics. And then we have people like I talked about a few weeks ago from the Church of Christ when I was there in Tallahassee with Chuck Lucas, the Crossroads Church of Christ. Pretty much, you know, you felt like everybody was going to hell if they weren't in that particular denomination. This is no good. None of this is any good. We can't allow ourselves to be sucked into the politics of hate. Look at my friend from Orlando who's basically in the process of a divorce right now because the wife is basically suffering from Trump deficiency, Trump enragement, or Trump to whatever, the syndrome from Trump, because she's gone absolutely nuts because she's a hardcore social leftist. See, what we have to understand is we've all gotten along in the United States, you know, for over 100 years. But the biggest problem we have is that people they're not tolerant. Whenever you have a leftist ideology, like in the Russian Revolution, they don't care about the other person or the other person's views or values. They don't care. They're trying to force their ideology on you. And that's what we see right now, even with this Kavanaugh stuff, with these crazy things that are happening at the Kavanaugh hearings. They know they can't stop this guy from being on the Supreme Court. They know they can't. They don't have the votes. But they know that they can go in and just disrupt as much as they possibly can because they're trying to get their planks in. Let me give you an example. This is an article on who is Andrew Gillum, the guy who's running for the governor of the state of Florida for the Democratic Party. This is an article from Front Page Magazine. And it says a few days ago, 39-year-old Andrew Gillum, a Tallahassee, Florida mayor who proudly embraces the socialist political and economic agenda of Bernie Sanders, won his party gubernatorial race in the state. That sets the stage for November when Gillum would run against a Republican. It talks about how he was, you know, he did marches on Tallahassee. He basically, you know, he worked for the people for the American Wave, that he's a hardcore communist Democratic Party server. And this is what he believes in. He strongly favors the expansion of Obamacare. He strongly favors government-enforced affirmative action policies to compensate non-whites and women for the effects of past and present discrimination. He strongly favors deeply progressive income tax structures up to 90%. He strongly favors the implementation of pathway to citizenship for illegal aliens, to make them all legal. He strongly favors the enactment of carbon taxes. He opposes voter ID laws. He believes that when you give a child a voucher to go to a different school, that it's unconstitutional. He believes the availability of guns should be severely restricted. All assault weapons should be basically taken away. And Florida's, you know, stand your ground law should immediately be repealed. I mean, he believes that the federal government should inject large amounts of funding into the form of cash, as well as federal job creation to help the U.S. economy recover. And he believes the nationalization of the banks and corporations is more appropriate than government bailouts of those entities. So he wants to basically take over the corporations. He wants a 15-hour minimum wage. This is just off the Communist Manifesto, guys. These are Communist Manifesto planks. And this guy's a hardcore socialist communist. Now you think, well, why can we be so different? Well, here's what I would really like to do. And I know this is not going to ever happen, but this is what I would do. Let all of these people like Andrew Gillum and these hardcore socialists, give them a few states. You know, give them California. Give them New York. Give them California and give them New York and say, guys, go ahead. Move to these states. Give them Oregon, too. Oregon's a good state. I mean, they're really super liberal already out there. Give them Oregon. You can give them Washington State. Give them the whole West Coast. And say, okay, guys, you can have the West Coast. You can have New York City. Go figure it out on your own. just like California now is so far in debt, Austin, they're never going to be able to pay off their liabilities. They can't figure it out on their own, because once they start this insane policy of giving everything away for free, what ends up happening is they quickly become broke because they don't understand where the money came from. I've talked about this so many times that even when you give them stuff, they can't maintain the stuff because they don't know how to get the stuff to start with. And so that's the problem when you start taking away the rights of corporations to run themselves, or businesses to run themselves, or people to have freedom. You start putting people in places and positions of power that have never had the ability to generate a revenue stream for anybody, even themselves. And this is what happens. And this is why Russia right now is basically pushing capitalism. And now in South Africa, they're now having start to have famines and huge amounts of problems trying to get food. They can't even feed themselves anymore. They used to be an export nation. Now they can't even produce enough food to feed themselves. They're having to import large amounts of food because they're starting to have massive problems with, you know, with distribution of food, because they've basically taken the farm away from the farms away from the white farmers who knew how to grow crops. So this is a problem. So we do have this is a huge ideological problem, and it's the politics of hatred. And so that's why we have to love one another and forgive one another, and we have to be as openly tolerant as possible and not resort to physical violence when we have disagreements with people. I mean, it's so much easier to try to find a common ground. I would always do that when I'd be on these. I've done thousands of interviews on international huge talk shows, regional shows, syndicated shows. And whatever I would always, if somebody would call in and ask me a question, I would always try to find a common ground that we both agreed on and go from there when I tried to answer the question. Because if you don't do that, all you do is set yourself up into constant conflict. You're always like Gumtree against Thunder. You're always fighting yourself and trying to beat yourself in the head, trying to figure out how to respond to this when everybody needs to find common ground. Now, I don't mean common ground to the point of compromise. I mean, we compromised in 73 with Roe v. Wade, with that unbelievable secular court that we had in the Supreme Court who pushed abortion on the United States. We compromised. And we don't need to have compromises like that. We don't need to have transgender bathrooms and all that stupid stuff. Just here, just this week, this lady had developed a hat. It was basically a vagina hat. I can't even make this stuff up. She developed the stitching to put together a vagina hat, and that they're not calling it a vagina hat. I'm giving you the G-rated version. They're calling it a pee hat, to basically walk around, that you can knit and put it on your head, so everybody knows that you're a female, so that you can protest against Donald Trump. The problem is now they're saying they can't do it anymore because this design is withdrawn after some women are now insisting that other women have penises. Austin, I can't make it up. Okay? I mean, an Irish woman has withdrawn her pea hat knitting pattern, which she had posted online as a service to fellow female protesters preparing for President Trump's visit to Ireland in November. Woke activists had pointed out to her that some women have penises, not vaginas. I know this is hard for you guys to get this. I understand that. I understand that sometimes you don't take biology classes. I got that, okay? But, you know, it's called an X or Y chromosome. Now, what can happen is, now you can have a person who can be messed up because of hormones in the pregnancy, okay? And who may have problems, or they may have both sexual organs. I mean, that happens. That happens, but that's very, very rare. You're talking probably one in a million. But the reality is, you know, hey, ladies, you know, who wanted to develop this little hat, I gotta tell you something. If you have something between your legs that doesn't look like a vagina, you're probably a guy. Okay, I just thought I'd mention that. I don't know what happened to you in biology 101. This is like a mental illness, Austin. And don't get me wrong, I think the whole idea of a vagina hat to wear to protest in Ireland when Trump shows up over there is about as stupid as, you know, as it gets. But to say now they can't even produce the vagina hats anymore, I don't even know. I don't even know how to comment on this stuff besides the utter insanity of the left and how incredibly weird this has all become. What do you think?
It really has, but again, it shows you the perfect, I mean, the textbook example of how the leftists do not even know what they believe. They literally keep taking it a step further and a step further and a step further into lunacy. And this is what we brought up so many times, is you ask us our beliefs, you ask us our values, you ask us our standpoints, you ask us where our lines in the sand are. We're pretty consistent with that. There's not a whole lot that I change much on. There may be a few things here and there that I look back and reflect on after 10 or 15 years and say, yeah, it's, I got a little bit different opinion on that. It's slightly changed. But overall, majority of the stuff we talk about, majority of the stuff we do and we live it, it's pretty doggone consistent. And that's the thing about these leftists. It's not that it's almost like... It's not even they know what they're arguing about. They just want to argue something to be different than the right. So it doesn't matter how stupid it is. It doesn't matter if there's absolutely no biological argument whatsoever that's valid. It doesn't matter any of that. If they can just argue and pitch a fit and have something to complain and moan and gripe about and have an, basically an alternative option that for other people to go into to argue with the right, that's the rate they go now. That's the route they go. And that's why, you know, we talked about Murray a couple of years ago. I warned everybody this. I said, this isn't going to stop when Target decides to let people in the bathroom. Like, oh, quite contraire. This is not the end of it. This is just the beginning. When Target starts saying grown men can go in the bathroom with little girls because if they identify as a woman, it's okay if they want to do that. That was just the beginning of it. And as we see now, the idiocracy, the lunacy of this knows no bounds. It knows no limits anymore. It really does not. And it's quite irritating and frustrating because you can't even argue with these people. You can't even have a healthy debate with these people. Let's put it that way. Because they literally just scream and yell and pitch a fit as soon as you bring up a valid topic that they can't answer. Like Dad said when he went up there and was talking to those Antifa individuals in Washington, D.C. We want free stuff. Okay, well, how are we going to figure out how to manufacture and get free stuff? We don't know. We need to take it from the rich. Okay, well, what happens when the rich people run out of money because you've taxed them 99% and they really have no money left? Well, then the government needs to pay for it. Well, how's the government pay for it if it can't tax anybody because everybody's broke and is not producing any revenue because you're giving all the money away to the people that aren't working, so there is no revenue being generated, there's nothing being manufactured, there's nothing being produced. Where does the money then come from? Well, we don't know. We just want free stuff. This is garbage. We want free stuff. It's not that they have a great option. It's not that they have a great base. They just completely and totally go off the deep end of it and don't know where to stop. I understand some of the arguments when people are like, okay, inflation's gone up. We want to raise minimum wage. I don't really agree with that, but I can kind of see where their argument is from, and I can have a valid rebuttal for that. I get that. But when you start pushing this socialist agenda of essentially, we don't want to work. We don't want to do anything. We want the government to be our babysitter and change our diapers and give us bottles every night because we don't want to do anything, you just sound like an idiot, flat out. And these people literally don't realize how ridiculous they are sounding, Dad. But enough of that. Another story, too, I thought was interesting because remember I brought this up to you guys 3 months ago that they were already starting to work and build AI drones, fully autonomous armed drones, right? I talked about that. They admitted to doing it. Now Lockheed Martin is taking it a step further as they want to start refining these drones. Lockheed Martin and Drone Racing League have now launched the Autopilot Alpha Pilot Initiative Challenge, which asks people to create AI-piloted drones. AI-controlled drones now will compete against human pilots on a complex course. The first team that can outrun a human pilot will be able to win a $250,000 reward. The aerospace giant is partnering with Drone Racing League. They said the first team that can outrun the automated drone will get a $250,000 reward, while the grand prize winner will claim a $1 million reward. But the competition doesn't just promise a financial reward. The winning AI system will spell the future of autonomous drone operations, according to Lockheed. They go on to say competitors will have an opportunity. Listen to this. To define the future of automation and AI and help our world leverage this promising technology to build a brighter future. This includes a range of complex challenges, including fighting wildfires, saving lives during natural disasters, and exploring deep space. The reason why they're doing this, guys, is they already have the AI drones now. Now, this is a rollout to see how they can refine them and make them unbeatable. They are now taking some of the biggest and brightest stars that can fly drones in the U.S. military, and they're now pitting them against these AI drones so they can continually work on their algorithm. Remember, artificial intelligence that's run by computers doesn't really have a cap on how much it can learn. It just continues to adapt and learn and become faster and faster with what is presented. So now what they're doing is they're taking the best and brightest and fastest and most advanced drone fighters, and they're seeing who can go against these AI drones to try to beat them. And then once they figure out those algorithms, they're going to download those into the drone. They'll continually keep doing this until they make the drone unbeatable. This is what they're doing with these, and they've already come out now and said they will be releasing automated, weaponized drones in the very near future for Middle Eastern combat is what they claimed it for, which, I mean, come on, guys. It's not like you can't deploy a drone anywhere in the entire world now. This is a creepy thing they're doing, and it really brings you back to that Terminator Skynet movie, even though a lot of that was science fiction. This is exactly, in my opinion at least, where they are trying to focus this on, and they're trying to take it, Deb.
Awesome. I read the same article, and you're absolutely right. And I thought the same thing with Terminator Skynet. You know, when you have the autonomous drones, I mean, these are killing machines is what they are. And they just turn it loose, and until it runs out of ammunition, it basically can't be stopped. But nowadays, with the particle beam weapons that they're producing, there really is no longer a need for that, because there really is no longer a need for, you know, ammunition to be loaded into these things. I mean, they can use basically microwave cannons, which they have them available, microwave weapons and laser guns that can be recharged via solar panels on the back of the drones. And now they're using basically lasers. They can focus onto the drone to recharge the battery packs while they're still in flight and not even on the ground. They can literally have autonomous stations of refueling at 10,000 feet,
yep,
which will maintain the weaponry on this thing indefinitely until it finally falls apart or crashes or something goes wrong with it. I mean, this is where this thing is going. This is going to this entire, you know, it's so funny. Last night, I watched that movie. I've never even seen it before. It was with Denzel Washington. It's called Deja Vu. And it was talking about, you know, it was a unit that could actually look back 4 days back in time and actually influence the outcome of certain things that were happening. Very interesting movie. And I thought to myself, you know, it's crazy how advanced they are, what they can do, and the technology that's being developed that's probably anywhere from 100 to 500 years ahead of what they've released to us. I mean, think about it, guys. If they had released an Apple 10 iPhone or an Apple 9 or an Apple 8 iPhone that they probably could have released back in 1985, you know, we'd all be flipping out. We're like, where the heck did this thing come from? But, you know, they gradually are releasing the technology and bringing us up to speed, and they want their autonomous aircraft. They want their autonomous drones. They want the entire 5G network set up so they can look into your homes. Like in this movie last night, they're actually looking into people's homes because of the network that they have built around it. And this is what they want. This is what their goal is. Their goal is to monitor every single person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's what they want. And that's it. That's what they're planning on doing, guys. The same thing. If you watch that last Jason Bourne movie that Matt Damon did, the same thing that they were doing with that. They were talking about the guy. They were basically mimicking what was going on with Facebook, with Zuckerberg, and they were bringing a guy in who had this new platform they could use to go ahead and go into everybody's homes and go in and basically steal all of their information and basically spy on them 24 hours a day. This is their fantasy world that they already have the technology to do, and the 5G is going to do it. Now, while we sit around worrying about Kavanaugh and vagina hats and gosh, and all this stupid stuff they're doing to us for the bread and circuses, they're just busy away just putting 5G networks together, hooking us up into an alpha computer, you know, D-Wave computer, because that's what they want to do. But they don't want us to stop and say, hey, what the heck are you guys doing? What are you looking at? That's why nobody ever talks about this. Oh, by the way, movie star Burt Reynolds basically died yesterday at the age of 82. I want to mention him because he was a former Florida State football player who was injured while playing football at FSU and ended up going into acting. I would never say that the guy was a very good actor. I can't say that, but he sure was entertaining. My condolences to his family, and I'm glad that he was able to be whatever he was. I hope he was saved. By the way, there's been a huge surge in silver demand, and it leaves the U.S. Mint, again, with no silver eagle coins at all. This has happened again. This is from Kitco. The U.S. Mint has temporarily sold out of all of its 2018 American silver eagle bullion coins and is currently in the process of producing more. Quote, this is to inform you that due to our recent increased demand, the United States Mint has temporarily sold out of its inventories of the 2018 American Eagle silver bullion coins, the U.S. Mint said in a press release published on Thursday. The announcement comes amidst the strongest silver sales from the U.S. Mint since last year. In August, the Mint sold 1.53 million one-ounce American Eagle coins, up 72% from the previous month. Guys, what they're doing is some of these guys are charging up to 25% premiums. Peter Hug, director of Total Global Trading at Kitco, said that wholesalers responded by raising premiums by as much as 25%. It's exactly what Ossa said a month or so ago. He says, sure, you may be able to get it for $14 or $13 an ounce for silver coins, but by the time you pay a premium on these new coins, you're going to be paying close to $20 a piece again in most cases. Now, sometimes you can get a little bit lower than that. But gosh, guys, this is crazy. I mean, this is way below production costs. And the reason they're doing this is because it's a 500-to-1 short. They're not allowing these contracts that are being produced at COMREX to be filled in gold or silver. They're doing it in basically paper. It's a 500-to-1. So every $500 they fill out, only $1 is in coins. The rest of it, all of it, basically, Austin, is, you know, paper. And that paper basically won't allow you at that point to you know, refill your contract. So it's a major, major problem. And guys, if you don't have any gold or silver stored up right now, it would probably be a pretty good time to do it. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. You know my stance on it. Silver is, you know, a huge, huge, huge investment portfolio, at least in my opinion, because physical silver is not only incredibly precious via its industrial usage, whether it be solar panels, whether it be refrigerators, whether it be laptops, whether it be cell phones. I can just keep going on the list. You guys already know. It's being used all over the world constantly. Remember, gold's incredible too, but remember, gold is a stored, hoarded metal. Gold is not used very regularly in usage as far as for industrial uses because it's just too expensive. Silver is almost, it's not as conductive as gold, but it's still very, very close, and it's significant. Significantly cheaper. Well, when I watched the market, if you guys watched the market on Tuesday after Labor Day, gold got shorted and shorted and shorted, and then silver got shorted and shorted. Silver got even more shorted than gold, and they pushed it all the way down to $13.99 on paper, which is the market was at $13.99, which is right when I decided to buy a little bit more. And as you look at it, on $13.99 on the market, that's what it's selling for on paper silver. Then turn around and go to ATMEX and see what you can buy a box, a monster box of silver for, just to see how much you can buy 500 silver eagles for. That's usually the best pricing that you can get. So I was looking at the numbers on it. The best pricing you could get on a monster box was like $17.85 per coin. Buying a monster box, 500 coins at a time. It went up significantly if you just wanted to buy one coin or 10 coins. And so you're looking at this spread here, and you're going, we're talking about $3, $4, $5 premiums in most cases, depending on where you're going with this, and that's to get physical silver. Physical silver is not going to sell for $15 an ounce for a silver eagle. It's not going to happen because it costs the mint more money than that to make it. They may be able to sell it on paper for that. We're at the very bottom trough of the silver market again right now, and you guys got to remember, just back in 2011, 7 years ago, silver peaked out at $50 an ounce with the premium going for $52, $53 a coin for these silver eagles. That's when the market actually started to correct itself without being manipulated because of all the garbage that happened in 2006, 2007, 2008, and it finally started to take off. And again, then you had people come in and just absolutely start shorting the market with tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands of ounces on each buy order, and shorted it so they could try to get it back down to a nominal level. Right now, there's no better investment, in my opinion, that's actually going to be a true, safe, physical yield, reserve currency, reserve savings that you can actually put in your hands. Because, I mean, you can put stuff in the bank and 401k and spot market, and you can gamble all you want with that stuff. But at the end of the day, the bank closes, 401k gets shut down, stock market collapses, you tell me what's going to happen with the money. We figure it out. So it's just something I, you know, kind of want to add on that. Also, too, talking about what Dad just said a second ago with them monitoring everything. This is an article, and I'm going to briefly touch on it because it's actually a pretty long article, but it's something that's really, I really wanted to address here, because this just goes to show you how hard they're pushing the bar to be able to monitor and spy on everything you do. You guys remember, for the past year now, Google advertisers have had access to potent new tools to track whether ads they ran online led to a sale at a physical store in the U.S. The insight came to a part in a stockpile of MasterCard transactions that Google paid for. Most of the 2 billion MasterCard holders aren't aware of this behind-the-scenes tracking. That's because the company's never told the public of the arrangement. It got leaked out about a year ago, and I did the article on it. You can go back and listen to the show last year. Hardly anybody in alternative news talked about this when Google acquired MasterCard transactions. Google and MasterCard brokered a business partnership, essentially, is what happened. The alliance gave Google a just unprecedented asset for measuring retail spending, part of the search giant's strategy to fortify its primary business against the onslaught from Amazon and others. But the deal, which has not been previously reported, could raise broader privacy concerns I always talk about. Google paid MasterCard millions of dollars for this data. Now, why'd they do that? They didn't just give MasterCard millions of dollars because they just wanted to give money away. Nobody gives money away for free like that just to do nothing. You guys already know that. MasterCard decided to basically allow them to have access to certain parts of their transactions on their customers. MasterCard shared transaction data with merchants and their service provider to help them measure the effectiveness of their advertising campaign. Last year, when Google announced a service called Store Sales Measurement, the company said it had access to approximately 70% of the U.S. credit and debit cards through partners without naming them. Google approached other payment companies about the program, according to 2 people familiar with the conversations and the arrangement, but it's not clear if they finalize those similar deals. Google can anonymously, listen to this, Google can anonymously match these existing user profiles to purchases made in stores. The result is powerful. Google knows that people clicked on ads and can now tell advertisers this activity led to actual store sales. Google defined ways for its biggest customers to gauge online sales and connected them to promotions they ran on Google. Google needs to tie that activity back to a click. Initially, Google devised its own solution, a mobile payment system called Google Wallet, which you guys have heard of. Part of the original goal was to tie clicks on ads to purchases. The problem is, since 2014, Google has flagged for advertisers when someone who clicked an ad and visited a physical store. They then go in and use the location history featured in your Google Maps on your phone. Still, the advertisers are not happy with this, so Google added more, a tool introduced the following year that let advertisers upload emails of customers they collected into Google's ad buying system. Both those tactics did not necessarily translate to more spending. Then Google brought in card data. In May 2017, the company introduced store sales measurement and had 2 components. It first lets companies with personal information on consumers, like email addresses, upload those into the Google system and synchronize ad buys with offline sales. The second then injects the card data. It works like this. A person searches for red lipstick on Google, clicks on an ad, surfs the website, but doesn't buy anything. Later on, Google tracks her walking into a store and then purchases the red lipstick with her MasterCard. The advertiser who ran the ad is fed a report from Google listing the sale along with other transactions in a column reading offline revenue. Only if the web surfer is logged into a Google account online and made the purchase within 30 days of the clicking ad. I don't believe that. I think they track it all the way because you can go back into your Google locations and see where you've been if you leave it on, which I don't, back 2-3 years down the road if you've had the same phone. So this is garbage. They're trying to placate the population, telling them they don't spy on them 24/7, 365. It's only 30 days out of the month that they spy on you, not 365 days a year. It's the exact same thing. So they go on to say here that advertisers are given bulk reports with percentages of shoppers who clicked, viewed, and then visited the store and made a direct purchase. Epic has now submitted a complaint about the sales measure tactic to the Federal Trade Commission last year. A report in August that Facebook, again, was also talking with banks about accessing information for consumer services, produced more criticism as well. So all that is said, they're doing everything they can now with a combination of the credit cards, with a combination of social media, with a combination of our phones, to literally monitor every single thing we do. Then you throw in the closed-circuit television systems that are going on all around the buildings, all around the roads, all on the highways, the toll roads, everything else. So they literally have you in an invisible group grid that you don't even realize you're operating in on a regular basis, and it's getting bigger and bigger. That's why you notice when I read this article, they've been doing this back since 2014. It's not enough. They want more. They want more. They want more. They want more. They're not going to stop. They literally will listen to your conversations on your phone, as we've already pointed out and proved. If you talk on your phone and you have any type of microphone permission given, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google, any of that, they listen to all your conversations on your phone. That's why they'll give you specific person-geared marketing ads once you talk about something. I've literally heard dozens of people have written me emails and said, they're sitting in their office with somebody and they talk about going to Cracker Barrel restaurant down here in Florida. And all it's just for an example. And all of a sudden they get on their phone and they check their Facebook real quick, and the first ad that pops up is a coupon for Cracker Barrel restaurant. You want to tell me that that's not coincidence? That just happened? Oh, I don't know how it happened. That was just random. No, they are literally building these profiles. And see, that's not just the one ad they do and then it just goes by the wayside. They build all these things in a metric so they can have every single thing you like, everything you do, everywhere you go, everything you buy, and they can build an entire database around you. And literally, as Facebook has now claimed now, they can literally predict what you're going to do before you even do it. That's why some people have even said now, I talked to somebody about this the other day, that now they've actually seen where they'll be thinking about something or they'll do something and it'll trigger an idea about going somewhere or buying something, and the ad will pop up online about what they're thinking about, and they haven't even said anything about it to anybody. That's how good they've gotten at Google now with predictive marketing and programming, Dad.
Well, they said after 200 or 300 likes, they can tell you what you're going to like next, what you're going to do next. That's what Facebook is. That's why Facebook is so dangerous. When you like other things, other people, it creates this giant database on you about what you like, what you don't like. It's like Austin, so they can pretty much figure out what you're going to do before you know you're going to do it. And that's sad. That's sad that we actually, as human beings, are that predictable. And again, it's the algorithms. It's basically this giant AI that they have working that's doing this. Your mom said the other day, we were talking about watching that new Jack Ryan TV show, and we tried to find it online so we could watch it on Fire Stick. And all of a sudden, we put it on the Fire Stick, and all of a sudden, it starts popping up all over the iPads. You know, Jack Ryan, watch Jack Ryan. And you're like, what the heck? Really? Well, this is what happens. This is what happens when Big Brother is watching. It's because they want to enslave you. They want to make you – they see you as a piece of meat. I hate to say that. That sounds kind of crude, but this is true. They see you as a piece of meat. They see you as a fillet. You know, how can we slice you up and dice you up to the best of our abilities and extract as much energy and basically money from you as long as we possibly can until you drop dead? That's how they look at you. And you think, well, God, that's awful. I didn't say it wasn't awful, guys. I'm just telling you that's how they look at you. And that's how they're planning on, you know, taking us on this next little journey they're taking us on. By the way, back to the gold thing and the silver things. One of my guys who gets my emails, his name's Mark, sent me a really good email on this, Austin. He goes, hi, Ted, another thing that just happened in silver is the commercials. Ones who use the product, Smart Money, most have had long contracts that they've had in silver. In other words, they're planning on the motive going up. Actually, net long, always been net short prior. I'm sure you understand the lingo. This week's data is released today. Commercials in silver have always called the bottoms. And they are not just the best at timing. A month ago, they were the longest ever, have they ever been in platinum, and prices have even fallen further. But we know how the markets are manipulated, probably with the $21 trillion off the books, according to a recent guest on Greg Hunter. That was Catherine Austin Fitz. Guys, there's a thing that's going on here. In other words, because of the exchange stability fund that started in 33, 34, we have a shadow government that's through the Rothschild banking cartel that runs the Treasury of the United States. And these guys, this is how they fund themselves. In this shadow exchange stability fund, a lot of the funding comes through the money that's being produced from the drug sales out of Afghanistan. That's why when you start talking about the exchange stability fund, people get really, really sketchy with you because they don't know what to do as far as with you, because now all of a sudden you're starting to wake up too much. By the way, a new review is demonstrating a nutraceutical approach to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. This happens with a lot of guys, primarily because too much fructose. Their bellies start to swell as they get older, Austin, and their livers start to swell. They don't really have any fat hanging on their stomach, but it's all internal fat, and the liver starts to get fat. And so it's a bad problem, and it can cause a lot of serious health problems, including shortness of breath and heart disease and all kinds of other things. Let me read you a little about this. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease disease is a growing epidemic in the United States. It is characterized by an abnormal liver enzyme. Insulin resistance, diabetes, obesity, and metabolic syndrome are all major factors in the development of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, primarily driven by the excess intake of sugar and fructose. Long-term hyperglycemia, elevated blood sugars, causes an increase in the synthesis of fatty acids and triglycerides in the liver, thus leading to a fatty liver. The gut-liver axis plays a significant contribution as well. Now, it's saying there's a few things that you can do with it. One of them is milk thistle. We have a really good product. It's called Liver Support. I take it all the time. It also has selenium in it, and when I take that product, I don't ever get any spots on the back of my hands, because that's one of the side effects of having a selenium deficiency, is that you end up with age spots on your hands. Milk thistle is a powerful antioxidant, along with a lot of other products that we have in the health, in the liver program, Austin, and also vitamin D, E, and omega-3s, also coenzyme Q10s, and also turmeric. All of these have been shown to help reduce the problems associated with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and it's a major problem that a lot of people are having right now in the United States, and that's why their bellies are getting so big, and they're having shortness of breath, so many health problems. By the way, vaccination mindset, terrified of germs and trusting of toxins. This is a good article by Joel Edwards, and it goes on. It's actually by Justin DeCamps. It says, all over the world, parents are reacting out of fear. They are terrified of germs, yet they trust toxic injections because they don't know any better. Why does the Western world adopt a culture of vaccination? Why? Because we fear microbes. We have been trained to believe that communicable diseases are life-threatening and that we are powerless to fight them without vaccinations. After all, it is reason people used to die from diseases like measles, didn't they? And it goes on to, yeah, guys, look, infectious diseases were a big problem, 16, 17, 1800s, 1900s, or early part of the 1900s. So we started learning about proper hygiene and washing your hands and all those types of things. But guys, we have to understand something. The germs have been around here for a long, long time, and he's absolutely right. Why are we going to basically count on poisonous injections to correct the problem with microbes when it can be as simple as washing your hands after you leave a bathroom, not to be exposed to this stuff, guys? It's so important. I've hit that a couple times a day. But with those three planes being quarantined, remember, not everybody on the plane was sick. Not everybody in these cities come down with Ebola. Not everybody who caught the flu last year, not everybody didn't catch the flu last year. Everybody on that cruise ship that I was on didn't get this norovirus. I didn't get it. Now, my three children got it because they touched everything, okay, and they were putting their hands on their face. I told them all not to do it. They wouldn't listen. Sharon and I didn't touch anything. We didn't get sick at all. Why? Because we kept away from the stuff and stayed away from the stuff that could affect us. Guys, I appreciate you so much. Wow, we've had a great week of shows. You guys are awesome. I want you to know I got to pray for you again this morning. It was my blessing again to do so. You guys are just the best group of listeners that I've ever had. The emails that I get from you guys are so amazing. It just, thank you. I even said, have one of you guys sent me a Seinfeld spoof. It was funny about Lloyd Bridges lifting a weight and ended up in the hospital with a back problem. After they saw my video, Austin, with the, so I'm still laughing about that. After they saw my, now, I'm not a promoter of Seinfeld. You guys know that. He said some really bad things on a few videos other than on, that weren't on a show about Jesus, and I'm not going to put up with that. Okay, but I'm just saying, but it was funny with Lloyd Bridges. And so it's just one of those things that I get a kick out of when you guys respond to me and you send me so many good emails. Thank you for that. I love you guys. I really do. You guys are family to me. Yesterday when I was speaking to one of our listeners, I mean, I was talking to him. He's like, we've known each other forever because he's listened to the show forever. And so I really am how I am on the show and in real life. You can ask Austin, you know, love me, hate me, like me, whatever you want to do. I'm just this way, and I try my best to treat everybody with respect and try to make everybody feel as important as I possibly can. But guys, there's a certain thing we have to all realize is this. You know, when we go before God's Almighty and God says to you, you know, well done, good and faithful servant, what an incredible reward that's going to be. We've got to stay with this word. We've got to stay with the Torah. We've got to stay with the Levitical law as far as the five first books, the Pentateuch. We have to not, you know, stay away from the pork and all that kind of stuff. And then we have to realize that we're under grace. And if we do mess up and we do things wrong, God's grace is sufficient for us. So we put our hearts and our hopes in Yeshua and Jesus. And guys, it's just so important to me that you understand that. This show's all about bringing honor and glory to God. And I do the best I can as often as I can to do that. So thank you for supporting us. And thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. You guys mean so much to me. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Absolutely. And one tip I can add for you guys as well, and, you know, some people don't like this because they find it to be maybe, like, rude or disrespectful whenever you're greeting somebody, is that also be aware of when you're shaking hands with people. And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, if you're closing in on a business deal or you're at work and you're basically meeting your boss or VP or you're meeting somebody that's important. But a lot of times around here, we've gone to the point where we do a lot of basically what they refer to as fist bumps. We're basically, you've seen it back in the day, where you basically bump knuckles as kind of a greeting. And a lot of people go, that's kind of weird, that's old school. The thing about it is, guys, it's incredibly sterile. You're using the back of your knuckles, which virtually don't come in contact with very much that's dirty. You're not shaking hands, and you're not transferring germs or pathogens from one person to the other. I'm not saying it's useful in all situations or it's even called for in some situations, especially, like I said, if it's a more formal meeting time. But a lot of times around here, and I've noticed this, and I kind of have a pet peeve about this, and I'm just going to say it right now. When you go to church, a lot of times at the beginning of church, you know, the pastor starts talking, especially down here in Baptist church, they do this all the time. And they'll say, okay, turn around and greet, you know, five people and this and that. Well, then everybody turns around and they start shaking each other's hands and shaking each other's hands and hugging people and shaking each other's hands. And then if you notice, nobody sits back down, or nobody goes to the bathroom and washes their hand. Everybody sits back down. So now you just have five people touch five other people that touch five other people, and you can see how this grows exponentially to where everybody just came in contact with everybody. So the likelihood of one of those people in the congregation being exposed to some type of virus or bacteria or pathogen on their hands or having some type of form of bacteria that's contagious or virus that's contagious is highly probable. And so I have a real issue with doing that. I don't like to be antisocial. I like to greet people. But again, that is one of the ways that I've done it a lot of times. People look at me weird when I do that sometimes. And again, it's not for everybody, but that's just me telling you guys something that I do. As you guys know, this is a show that we do for you guys. And so I just like to give little tidbits here and there. It's not always successful. Sometimes people want to shake your hand while you're trying to give them knuckles. It becomes weird. But again, I digress. I just wanted to add that in there. Well, we really do thank you guys for a lot of the emails and support. I've been getting a lot of emails this week I'm trying to get caught up on. I've been extremely busy, but it's awesome. A lot of stuff going down here in Florida, especially raising the two little munchkins. Hunter's running around now. Kendall's 7 months old, and she's crawling all over the place, and she's a handful. The other day, I left the back door open to walk outside to the carport, and sure enough, I turn around, and she's just getting it right out the door, coming after me, crawling, and I was like, oh, gosh. So I put her back in the house and made sure she was good and safe, but we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for everything you do. If you need anything, help HealthMasters.com. As you guys know, the Body Balance Himla is on sale. We talked about earlier this week. And the Turmeric Force is on sale, product of the week. Himla's on sale for 40% off, and the turmeric's on sale for 10% off. I don't think the Turmeric Force has actually ever been on sale with us. So be sure if you want to stock up on that or add anything else or get Himla and a bottle of turmeric. That right there is an incredibly good formula for anti-inflammatory, for healthy brain, and healthy liver function. Just those two supplements alone are really, really effective. Thank you, guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome Friday night. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend, and we will talk to you again Monday, as always.